Turn to Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 2. I'm going to read one verse, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21. Paul wrote these words, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain."
Amen.
Now, a brief foundation here. These are the last words that Paul spoke to Peter when Peter was to be blamed. And he is recounting these words to the Galatians, making a point. So remember that, because this defines some of Paul's language as he speaks here. Now that's the first thing. The second thing is this. Remember, these are Paul's words to Peter. And you actually read them, what is it? About the middle of verse 14, "If thou," I said unto Peter before them all, "if thou," being a Jew. And then he ends it up. "I do not," this is what he told Peter.
Yeah.
"I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Here's the second thing. I think that it is very easy, because of all that surrounds us,
yeah,
it's very easy to be confused concerning some language in the Scripture.
Yeah. You're right.
Now, if I were to say to you, let's see if I can get this right, "I do not walk in the righteousness of the law."
Right.
If I were to say that to you, would you automatically conclude then that there are others then, that I'm saying then, that there are others who do walk in the righteousness of the law? Would you conclude that? Now, knowing me, you probably would not. But if I said that to any people in general, "I do not walk in the righteousness of the law," the natural mind, the mind automatically wants to conclude, well, he must be saying somebody does.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? But you know that's not the truth.
No, that's right.
Is it? It's not the truth. So what did Paul say again? So it was his last words, at least as he recalled to the Galatians, "I do not," it's what he said to Peter, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain."
Amen.
Now there are those of the humanistic free will persuasion who, because of this very verse, they say, "See, man can frustrate the grace of God."
Right. It is possible.
You're right.
You're
exactly right. They do.
Right?
Yep.
Because Paul said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God."
Yeah, yeah.
They naturally conclude that Paul is inferring then that some have or can or will or may frustrate the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's what they think. You're
right. In other words, that there are those who may neutralize the grace of God. This is one of some of the meanings of the word.
Yeah.
There are those who may make void the grace of God. They may disannul the grace of God. They may bring to naught the grace of God. And I'm here to say that's the meaning of the word frustrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, if you're a little confused right now, just hang on a minute. You'll be even more confused in a moment. So there are those that say, Paul said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. Therefore, it's concluded that some do frustrate the grace of God." Now, if you read many of the commentaries, they're probably not going to help you a whole lot, even some of the good ones. Here's another point. There are those of the puritanical, forensically Calvinistic ilk, and I mean by that, they have to lay all their ducks in a row. That is, they will give an explanation to the Scripture that fits their Calvinism rather than looking for what the Scripture is actually saying.
Exactly.
That's what I mean by that. They are of this puritanical, and you read the Puritans, boy, they have all the, they can explain, matter of fact, they don't explain every verse and phrase. They give you sometimes 7, 8, or 9 explanations to the same thing. It could mean this. It could mean that. He could have been meaning this. Have you ever read some of them? Well, Paul meant exactly what he said when he's talking to Peter. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Yeah. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Yeah. Exactly. So those of this puritanical, forensically Calvinistic ilk, they, because of this verse, would say, yes, man can frustrate the grace of God. They're Calvinists, but they say it means to disesteem.
Yeah. Okay.
They say it means to set aside. It means to put as of no value or to reject the grace of God. That is, at least the grace of God in a relative sense. Mm-hmm. Reject the gospel of his grace or reject the truth of his grace. The other believes in the word as an absolute sense. Mm-hmm. Okay? Both are right as to the meaning of the word frustrate.
Yep.
The word frustrate means all those things. To neutralize, to make void, to disannul, to bring to naught. It also means to set aside, to disesteem, to put as of no value, to reject. But both are wrong as to what Paul wrote.
Exactly.
He didn't write, I do not frustrate the grace of God, but some do. Did he? Did he write that? No. Yet the mind, being twisted by its depravity, that is the natural mind, automatically wants to find the other part of what Paul was getting at. Well, the other part of what Paul is getting at is, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Yeah.
So let's go back now. If you're still a little confounded, let's go back. Both of these two groups are right as to the meaning of the word frustrate, but they're wrong about what Paul wrote. Paul did not write as to what some men do here. He was writing as to what he told Peter that he did not do here.
Exactly.
And that's it. That's all he was talking about.
Yep.
I'll give you three validations of this. Number one, if any man can frustrate the grace of God,
yeah.
If that was what Paul were saying in the, I don't, but some people do.
Yeah.
Okay? If any man can frustrate the grace of God, then any man can make Christ's death meaningless.
That's what he's saying. That's a context.
In other words, any implication of anything must apply to both phrases.
That's right.
Now, some people say, well, the way men preach. But no, we're not talking about what men preach here. Paul said, but I do not frustrate the grace of God. And look at all the For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. And I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness has come by law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Amen.
Any implication of anything here that implies anything else would have to be applied to all the phrase
exactly.
Paul said.
That's right.
And I don't care how much men may lie about what Jesus Christ did. They do not make his death meaningless.
Amen. Exactly.
They do not make Christ to be dead in vain.
Amen.
It'll never happen.
Exactly.
Here's number two. Paul actually goes on to declare exactly contrary to anyone being able to frustrate the grace of God.
Yeah.
Look at chapter 3, verse 15. Brethren,
yes, sir.
I speak after the manner of men. Now he said, I'm going to give you a human illustration. That's what he's talking
yeah.
about. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man... Do you see that next word?
Yeah.
Disannuleth. That's the same word translated frustrate over in chapter 2,
yeah.
verse 21.
There you go. That's right. Yeah.
Paul says, even on a human level, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth. No man.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot. If the covenant is confirmed, you cannot bring it to naught, whether in an absolute way or a relative way. And you can't add to it. It's the same word. Now, why they translated it different, I have no idea. But it's the same thing.
Yep.
But then he goes on. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And anyone who says, but he's not mentioning grace here. When he mentions the promise of God in Christ, he's talking about grace.
Amen.
Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot, and now it's a different Greek word, but it's even stronger. There is no absolute or relative sense. It's only absolute. It says 30 years after cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. So therefore, we must beware when we read what Paul is saying. He said to Peter in verse 21, when he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, then that infers that the grace of God can be frustrated. Because he just went on to say, it cannot.
Amen.
Isn't that what he just said? I read it to you. You can go back and you can check the Greek words. You'll see exactly what I'm saying. Even the law, Joe, could not frustrate it. And even more, it can't even, and then we see another, the disannul.
Yeah.
This is only an absolute sense. In other words, this is to invalidate completely.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the same meanings of the word frustrate, only it doesn't have the relative sense. In other words, Paul's not saying, whenever we preach the gospel, I do not frustrate the grace of God. But there are some who preach a message that frustrates the grace of God. That's not what he said.
That's not what he's saying. You're right.
That's number two. Now here's number three. Now I want you to hear what Paul actually calls anyone who touts legal righteousness.
Yeah.
Now let's look at what about these people who preach something different? He leads off with that in chapter 1 and says in verse 6 to the Galatians, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would frustrate the gospel of Christ. Is that what he says? No. When he's actually talking about what men do against the truth of the grace of God,
exactly,
he calls it a perversion,
exactly,
of the gospel, exactly, not a frustration of the gospel.
Exactly.
It's even deeper. It is more heinous. It's a perversion of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
That was Paul's language when we talk about anything in a relative sense.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or is it now maybe coming to head a little bit of what Paul was actually recounting here to the Galatians of what he said to Peter? And then what about those who turn from? What about the Galatians? Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's he talking about? That law. Law righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing.
Yeah.
Now what's he talking about? He's saying if you're seeking righteousness before God by circumcision, Christ is of no avail to you.
Exactly.
For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are what? Fallen from grace.
Exactly.
He didn't say you frustrated the grace of God. No. He said you've fallen from grace. And that's real.
Yes, sir.
He didn't say you fell out of grace. He didn't say you had grace and you lost grace. No, you've fallen from grace. In other words, you have abandoned its truth.
Amen.
Exactly.
That's what he's talking about. In other words, Paul calls it what it is.
Yes, sir.
To preach legal righteousness as acceptance before God is not to frustrate the grace of God. It is to pervert the gospel of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
To follow after such a thing, even if you've professed grace, no matter how much you've professed grace, to turn from that is then to what? Fall from grace.
Exactly.
So much so that Jude puts it this way. And turn to Jude, that book right before the book of the Revelation. Listen to what Jude writes. And before I even read it, let me preface it with this statement. Even in the face of apostates, even in the very teeth of men who teach false doctrine, who teach this perverted gospel.
Yeah.
Look at what he says, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now we know here this is the faith in a relative sense, not in the absolute sense. You don't have to contend for that faith that God gives as a gift that is a fruit of the Spirit. It's the doctrine of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ he's talking about contending for here. Even as Paul said to the Galatians, he said, when I went up to Jerusalem, I withstood them not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel may continue with you. I didn't care who they were.
Exactly.
That's basically what he was saying.
Yeah.
But look, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, for there are certain men crept in unawares. They're snuck in.
Yeah.
But then look at what it says, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Amen.
So this ain't caught God by surprise.
No.
This ain't caught his purpose by surprise.
Right.
This ain't caught his grace by surprise. God Almighty is in absolute sovereign reign over all of it.
Amen.
See it? Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, not just men who frustrate the grace of God.
Yeah.
No, but ungodly men turning the grace of God into what?
Lasciviousness.
Now, did they turn the grace of God absolutely speaking into lasciviousness? No, but relatively. Their message was turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when Paul talked about men who lied on God and touted men's worth or men's work or men's will, he called them what they were. He didn't say they were frustrating the grace of God. He said they're preaching a perverted gospel.
Amen.
That's exactly what he said.
Jude says they're ungodly men. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness.
Yeah.
They use it for their own uses, whatever that might be.
That's right.
Yeah. Whatever that might be. So there are the three validations of what I'm trying to give you this morning. It's not a matter of, well, the grace of God can be frustrated because Paul said he didn't frustrate it.
Yeah.
In any way.
You're right.
Now here's the title of my message. God's grace cannot be frustrated.
Amen.
And I give it that title right in the teeth of what Paul said because I know what Paul's talking about.
Exactly.
Here.
Let
me give you five facts about God's grace. Now, that was my introduction. I hope you see what I'm saying here. God's grace cannot be frustrated.
Exactly.
And yet some read this, and then some say, well, see, it can be. Or then others then go try to show how, well, it's not really frustrated in the end or overall. No, God's grace is never frustrated.
Amen.
Let me give you five things about God's grace. First of all, I'm going to term it this way. It's eternal grace. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1.
Yeah.
It's eternal grace. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said, writing to Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us. And note the order. He speaks of salvation as even preceding calling.
That's right.
Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. In what sense can that be true, Paul? Because I was born lost, right?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't I born as depraved as everybody else? Weren't we the children of wrath even as others? Yes, but look, here's how, in what sense. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen.
In other words, there was nobody there to frustrate it.
Exactly. Amen.
Who could have frustrated this?
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, sir.
None but the triune God existed then. This is before the world began.
Amen.
And even Satan's fall is said to be in connection with the world.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He said, I will ascend up into heaven and I'll be like the Most High God.
Yep.
So I know this took place, Joe,
right,
before even that. There was no one there to frustrate God's grace. And Paul tells Timothy, God gave us this grace in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Amen.
Now, you can't have something that don't even exist frustrating the sovereign God who did exist.
Amen. Exactly. There you go.
Now, that's just common spiritual sense. Is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's
sir.
Number one. Here's the second thing. It's also called reigning grace. Turn back to Romans chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's also called reigning grace. Before I read that one, let me think about this. Even where abounding sin exists, even abounding sin cannot frustrate grace.
Amen. That's right.
Read what he says, Romans 5, verse 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might what? Abound. So here we're talking about abounding offense. Abounding sin. Sin overflowing. Sin, we could say, at its maximum. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more. Much more. Much superabound, some have said.
Amen.
So, the maximum of sin, Joe, could not frustrate the maximum of grace.
Amen.
Could it?
That's exactly right.
But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace cannot be frustrated even by abounding sin.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody says, I don't like that. Well, you don't like God.
There you go.
I like it. I don't love that. You don't love God. I don't believe that. You don't believe God then.
Right. Exactly.
Because this is what he says. It's called eternal grace. It's called reigning grace. Look at chapter 3. It's also called justifying grace.
Yes, amen.
And it's called justifying grace, and this happened even in the teeth of our fallen state. Because look at how chapter 3 and verse 9 then begins. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. We have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they're all under sin. In other words, it's like a monster that's on top of you. Like a huge, humongous weight that you can't get out from under.
Right.
We're all under sin. Then he goes to this great litany of what we all are by nature. Right?
Yep.
Right, but look. Therefore, verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, that's some of the very things Paul was talking about in 2 Peter, in Romans, Galatians 2 and 21, that he was recounting to the Galatians, right?
Yep.
Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Yeah.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, and even the law and the prophets give witness to this, he says. Yeah. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of who?
Jesus.
Of Jesus Christ. Not our faith, his faith.
Amen.
Yeah.
Unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he's not done with the phrase yet.
Yeah.
Being justified freely. Do you see it?
Amen.
Even when we'd already sinned, Joe, and sinned in these most heinous ways. And the law clearly shows this to be true. But he says, nevertheless, being justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So again, I say it's called justifying grace. This grace cannot be frustrated because it abounds, it reigns, and it was free even in light of and in the teeth of our sins and our sin.
Right.
And people say sin's the one thing that can keep you out of heaven. Yeah. Not if Jesus Christ died for you, it's not.
That's exactly right.
Because if Jesus Christ died for you, if he shed his blood to redeem you, bless God, you are redeemed even in the teeth of your sinful state.
Yes, sir.
That's what he teaches here. And people want to come along and feel like they've got to, I need to at least kind of stand up for grace can't really be frustrated. No, grace cannot be frustrated.
Exactly.
When Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, there's only one reason why. For if righteousness has come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
That's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is. Justifying grace. Well, here's number four. It's also called converting grace. Now, I'm not going to read all of it. You know it. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And Paul says this, I know, brethren, beloved of the Lord, your election of God. And the election is called the election of what?
Grace.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, is there anything or anyone that could frustrate that? No. He said, now I know your election, you beloved. I know your election. Go, why? Because our gospel came not to you in word only. Right. Now, it will come in word, in one form of the another. But it'll come in word, but it don't come in word only. But what? In power. In the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance. In affliction. And ye what? Ye became. It didn't say you just decided to be. Ye became followers of us.
That's right.
And of the Lord. So much so that people around you knew something had happened to you.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he says. Yeah. And the word, I didn't even have to say a lot because the word spread about what had happened to you. Look what happened to these people when that man preached to them. Look at what a change that took place. Now you've turned to God from idols.
Yeah.
To serve the true and the living God and to do what? To wait for his son from heaven.
Yeah.
And people talk about grace can be frustrated. Even the preaching of the gospel can't be frustrated.
Amen.
Toward the elect.
Amen.
Now can it?
That's right.
This is why we teach that the gospel will conquer.
Yeah.
Why the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yeah. It cannot.
Amen.
Why? Because grace reigns.
Yeah, that's it.
Grace superabounds. Grace was given and ordained and given by God before the world began. And you just keep working your way all the way back till finally you see he's the God of all grace.
Amen.
So much so that it says about Jesus Christ, even in light of the fact that some hadn't received him, and in the fact that some had, has said he was still full.
Amen.
Of grace and truth.
Amen.
Isn't that what John said?
Yes,
we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full. Now he wasn't full of grace because some wouldn't receive him, therefore he couldn't give some out. He's just full of grace. He's intrinsic grace. He is grace.
Amen.
He's sovereign grace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And some had received him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some had received him. How? Not by act of their own, but by an act of God. Isn't that what he teaches there?
Yeah.
And even though, Joe, he has dispensed out this grace to these who have received him,
yes,
he still ain't empty of any grace. Mm-hmm. He's still full of grace and truth.
Amen.
I'm saying this morning that God's grace cannot be frustrated.
Amen.
I mean, so much so that it says, remember, I lost his name, I mentioned in Acts chapter 18, especially verse 27 and 28, Apollos. A very good speaker.
Yes, sir.
I mean, he could publicly convince men from the scriptures now, from the scriptures, that Jesus was the Christ. And it said the people who had believed how? By grace.
Amen. Amen.
By grace. I'm saying it's called eternal grace. It's called reigning grace. It's called justifying grace. It's called converting grace.
Yes, sir.
Grace has the power, the sovereign power. The grace of God has the sovereign power to do all these things. So much so that it is stated by Luke in Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, and as many as were ordained to eternal life,
yeah,
what? They believed.
Amen.
And they always, always do.
Amen.
Because you know why? The grace of God cannot be frustrated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, I just don't know about that. Well, then you never experienced that grace.
There you go.
Because once God Almighty lays hold of you by that free sovereign grace, that eternal grace, that reigning grace, that justifying grace, that converting grace, he's going to bring you down in the dust and you're going to know grace is eternal.
Amen.
Grace reigns. Grace justifies and grace converts.
Yeah.
Even in the teeth of my sin and rebellion against God.
Exactly.
Look at Saul of Tarsus.
Yes, sir.
Look at Saul of Tarsus. As a matter of fact, that's what we're going to do for my fifth one there. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's the fifth thing about this fact that God's grace cannot be frustrated. One of the fifth fact about it. It's called conforming grace.
Yeah.
You hear what I said? Conforming grace. Not only does grace convert sovereignly,
yes, sir,
but it conforms.
Yes, sir.
Now look at what Paul said. In other words, let me just sum it up before I read it. Grace will get the job done.
Amen.
Grace will get the job done in the teeth of everything and everybody, every demon in hell and every cherubim and seraphim in glory.
Amen.
The cherubims and the seraphims do not add to its power, and the demons in hell, even Satan himself, cannot subtract from its power.
Amen.
It is eternal grace, reigning grace, justifying grace, converting grace, and it's conforming grace. Why? Because Paul said these words. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 8. And last of all, he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Now born, when it comes to being born, you got nothing to do with that.
Exactly. That's right.
And look, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle. Why? Now look here, even in the teeth of this very thing.
Yeah.
Because I persecuted the church of God. He was not looking to become a believer in Jesus of Nazareth.
No, sir, he was.
Was he?
No.
Exactly the opposite. I guarantee you, Neil, he was trying to frustrate that grace that these people were talking about as best he could. He goes, shut her down. I'm going to nullify it. I'm going to bring it to naught. Whether absolutely or relatively, I'm going to hammer on it all I can and wipe his name off the face of the earth. But. But. What a glorious three-letter word.
Yes, sir.
But. By the grace of God, I am what I am.
Amen.
Now there's the precedent. Grace brought this change about.
Yes,
now that's converting grace. We've looked at that.
Yep.
Look, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Even in the face of a man who wanted to wipe the name off the face of the earth.
Yes,
Mason, that very same grace of that Lord Jesus Christ brought this man down.
Amen.
And brought him to be what he is, an apostle.
Yep. Yes,
sir. Look, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain.
That's right.
Now look, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Well, but see there, Paul saying, boy, I got out there and I did it. No, that's not what he says, does he?
Yet not I.
Amen. But the grace of God which was with me.
Amen.
Do you see it? I'm saying it's converting and conforming grace.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing grace.
Amen.
That's why I wanted to sing that song. It's a pretty good song.
Yeah.
You know? Now look. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And he said that grace that was with him, that even had brought him through all of this. Joe, that was the same grace that what brought him from his mother's womb.
That's right.
Yeah. And then called me what? By his grace. Let me tell you, when any man says in any way that grace can be frustrated in any way, he's either lying on God or he's trying to make his doctrine fit what he thinks the truth is.
Right. Yeah.
Because grace cannot be frustrated.
Exactly.
Mm-mm. Men might do despite under the spirit of grace.
Oh, yeah. No way.
They do hate his grace.
Oh, yes, yeah. Sir.
Oh, yeah.
They may throw up their fists in his face. I hate that kind of grace. But just like Saul of Tarsus, if God determined before the world began to by his grace bring them down, being brought down, they will be.
Amen.
And they'll continue to be.
Yes, sir.
That's just the way it is. In other words, let me say it again, grace will get the job done.
Amen.
Now men can and do preach a corrupt message.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah, a perverted gospel.
Exactly.
It's not the gospel, but they pervert the gospel of Christ. So men can and do preach a corrupt message. But because of that, because that is true, we must say this. Thus, all that comes from it must be corrupt, no matter what kind of overt results seem to take place.
That's
right. Boy, here's a guy, he was a drunk. He heard that message of free will, and he ain't a drunk no more.
Hallelujah.
That ain't evidence about.
Exactly.
Well, boy, he used to hate going to church on Sundays.
Yeah.
Boy, now he loves going to church on Sundays. No, and he probably thinks he's gaining God's favor by going to church on Sundays too.
There you go.
And Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Why? For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
That's right.
So remember, there is a corrupt message out there, but they're not frustrating the grace of God.
No. Exactly.
They're perverting the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And everything that flows from that is corrupt. It is perverted, no matter what you think you see out here.
Exactly.
But even so, God calls some to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Thus, its results will be efficacious, even though it may appear hindered overtly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm? Yeah. Now, I'll go back to Galatians again. So much so, remember, Paul said, if you try to be justified in God's sight by circumcision, you've fallen from grace. But then look at what he says, verse 7, ye did run well.
Yeah.
Who did hinder you? Remember what Earl said about that years ago? Somebody throwed a body block into you. That's what it hindered me. He didn't say who did frustrate the grace of God.
No.
No. Grace of God cannot be frustrated.
Exactly.
He said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Now, I could be body blocked.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But look, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not what? Obey the truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said, left like it is, it'll be to your destruction.
Yep.
If it's left like it is, a little leaven, leaven, thought, look, I have confidence in you, how? Through the Lord.
Yeah.
That ye will be none otherwise minded. And basically, with all that he still says, Mason, and the rest of this, he's basically saying, I've got to lay it in God's hands because God's grace will get the job done.
You betcha.
That's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. I have confidence in you, how? Through the Lord. If he begun this work in you, this good work in you, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If it don't continue, then you ain't got what you thought you had.
Right.
If you can abandon it and leave it, then it wasn't really what you thought. It wasn't the grace of God.
Right.
It might have been some quasi whatever it is, perverted grace that men may talk about, but it's not the grace of God. He said, I have this confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But not only that, but he that troubleth you, he'll bear his judgment, whosoever he be.
That's right.
God will deal with this matter.
Yes, sir.
You see it? God will tell you, ain't nobody and no thing, demon, angel, fallen man, rebel against Christ, ain't nobody going to frustrate the grace of God.
Amen.
That's the foundation. You want to look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. You need to get a hold of what I've just been telling you about. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. But you know what? Righteousness don't come by law.
That's right.
Christ ain't dead in vain.
Amen.
Never will be. Never shall be. It never was, never is, never shall be.
Amen.
So in other words, next week, God willing, next time, we'll look at this verse as a whole. Because a lot of people say, well, I'm not trying to be circumcised. The law is the summary. Listen, the law is the summary of this. And I've said it. I've already mentioned it. The law is the summary of this. Human will.
Yep.
Human work.
Yep.
And human worth.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what it's the summary of.
Yeah.
And I don't care whether it's ecclesiastical will, work, and worth. Or whether it's strictly Mosaic will, work, and worth.
Right.
It's all legalism.
Yeah.
It's all law. It's all human effort.
Yes.
And you could say it that way. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by human effort. Because that's what the law is about, human effort.
Yes, sir.
Thou shalt not, thou shalt. Right?
Yes, sir.
If righteousness, I don't frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. So again, I'll sum it up this way. God's grace cannot be frustrated.
Amen.
You know what? I thank God for that.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
When there was a time when I, not would have, I mocked that.
Yeah.
Didn't want it. Laughed about it.
Yeah.
Despised it. Yeah. Yet that same grace, that same God that I despised and hated, ran from, rejected.
Exactly.
That same God in his grace conquered me.
Yes, sir.
And that's my only hope. And my only hope is he's still going to keep conquering me.
Yeah.
You know, bring me to the feet of Christ. Cry out, Christ, if you didn't do it for me, it ain't done. It ain't done. David Wright, would you ask God to bless the food for us, please?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the messages that we've heard today, Lord. We thank you that you've honored Christ and met with us this morning, Lord. Thank you for these men that you set up in this place, Lord. Continue to give them an utterance that they proclaim your mysteries, Lord. And give us grace, Lord, that we keep our hearts and minds set on things above while we are here, Lord. that we're attentive to the message, Lord, that it doesn't just stay here when we leave, Lord, but by your grace cause it to follow us as we walk into this world, Lord. Though we be in this world, we're not of this world, Lord. Thank you for the brethren here. Give us grace, Lord, that we truly strive to keep the unity, Lord, that we lift each other up and exhort each other higher than one another, Lord. Esteem each other greater than ourselves, Lord. We ask that you give us grace, Lord, that we truly not be a hindrance to each other, Lord, not be, but to be an encouragement for us.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for all that you've given us, Lord. Cause us to be truly grateful for what we have in Christ. Lord, we ask that you bless our time of fellowship and that this food may be to nourishment of our bodies, Lord. Thank you for all those hands that prepared, Lord. Be with Chad and all the brethren here, Lord, and Elizabeth that are going through any ailment, Lord. Cause them to look to Christ for comfort alone, Lord, not to seek the wisdom or the care of this world, Lord, but to truly seek after your will, Lord. Your will be done in all things. Remember all your sheep throughout this world, Lord. And may we be pleased as if you see fit, Lord, to bring us back next week to hear your gospel. Thank you for all things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.